we come now to chapter 12, and we come and it says, then the men of Ephraim, we remember these guys, because they also had come against Gideon. And it says, they gathered together and crossed over toward Zaphon, and said to Jephthah, why do you cross over to fight against the people of Ammon and did not call us to go with you? We will burn your house down on you with fire. Now, these guys are Israelites, the Ephraimites, right? Jephthah is their brother, and he's just conquered the Ammonites. And these fellows come along and say, you didn't tell us. Why didn't you call us and let us know and call on us and tell us and let us be a part of the victory? We want to be honored as part of the victory. That's the idea. And it's familiar because these same Ephraimites came to Gideon when Gideon was going to battle against the Midianites. Now, I know it's hard to keep track of all these ites. You know, you have the Ammonites, the Midianites, the mosquito bites. You got all those things. So they always seem to come, these guys, these Ephraimites, always seem to come late to the game and complain that they weren't kept informed. You ever been anybody like that? They come in when all the work is done, and they're like, hey, why didn't you give me a call? What am I? I wanted to be part of the party, kind of a deal. And they show up after all the heavy lifting is done, and they accuse this judge of not being asked to be involved. And they're threatening, get this, to burn down his house. They have a bit of a revisionist history going on in their head. And the Ammonites, they were in the land for 18 years. Jephthah wasn't even around. Jephthah was off somewhere. They had cast him out of the society, remember. And they brought Jephthah back into society so he could fight the Ammonites. The Ephraimites could have taken on these Ammonites anytime they wanted to, and they didn't do it. And now they're upset because they didn't get invited. They had tried this with Gideon. Now, Gideon's approach when they came to Gideon and complained to him was he kind of used the idea a soft answer turns away wrath. And he just kind of was gentle with them. And he didn't really come down on them. But they didn't know that they were going to face Jephthah. It's a whole different deal we're going to see. They didn't learn from Gideon's soft answer. Now they're going to get a different kind of answer from this leader. And Jephthah said to them, my people and I were in great struggle with the people of Ammon. And when I called you, notice that, you did not deliver me out of their hands. Hey, guys, I did call you. And you never showed up. Now, doesn't that drive you crazy when somebody complains about not being asked to be involved in something and you did try to get them involved, and then they're like, hey, why didn't you get me involved? Well, that's just what these guys are doing. And basically, he's saying, you didn't deliver me out of their hands. I called you, and you didn't show. If my life was dependent on you, I'd be dead. That's basically what he's saying. And so when I saw that you did not deliver me, I took my life in my hands and crossed over against the people of Ammon. And the Lord delivered me. You didn't do it. You guys didn't show up, but the Lord showed up, and the Lord always shows up, doesn't he? And he says, and the Lord delivered them into my hand. And then he says, why then have you come up to me this day to fight against me? I got no help from you, and now you want to complain to me? You guys are jealous is what you are. He's sort of saying to them, how dare you question me? I've been battling, and you've had every opportunity to deal with this yourself, and you didn't do it. I got to tell you, I like Jephthah. I really like him. He's a tough guy. He's a straightforward, confrontive kind of a guy. I know some people like this. I've been known to be a people like this. I kind of like Jephthah. Because, you know, confrontation, listen, let's be honest. Confrontation is not easy, is it? And it's especially not easy in the body of Christ, in the church. But wouldn't you agree that confrontation is necessary at times? And unfortunately, this confrontation was a very necessary confrontation. And they brought it on themselves. Because when you come along to a guy like Jephthah and you say, I'm going to burn your house down. Jephthah's like, huh, really? Watch what I do to you. Now, the root of the issue with Ephraim against Jephthah was nothing but jealousy. Jephthah is being recognized as the judge. Jephthah is being honored as the one who conquered the Ammonites. They want a piece of the action. They want a piece of the pie. They want to be included in this. They want to be like, oh, what about us? What about us? What about our contribution? They want to feel good about what they've done for the Lord. Does it remind you of any stories in the Bible? How about Cain and Abel? Do you know the root of the issue between Cain and Abel? The reason that Cain slew Abel is because he was jealous of Abel's. Abel received a honoring from God for the sacrifice that he brought. And Cain's sacrifice was not accepted because it wasn't the proper sacrifice. But Cain's issue was, in his heart, was that he became envious and jealous of the fact that Abel got blessed by God and he didn't. And so what did that lead to? It led to Abel being murdered by his brother, the first killing in the Bible. And so it says that in Genesis 4 that God did not respect Cain and his offering. You see, this is what the Ephraimites are looking for. They're looking for respect from God. They're looking for respect from all the other people. They're looking for glory. And you know, there's times, unfortunately, in the body of Christ, when there are those that are looking for glory, and they just really want the glory. They don't really want to do the work. They just want the glory. They just want to be invited, and so they can say, they have their name on the list as the ones who showed up, and then they want everybody to go, oh, what a great job you did. Listen, you know, you can't get a piece of God's glory. God will not share his glory with anybody. And I think of these, so many other stories in the Bible. I think of Sarah and Hagar, that the reason Hagar had to be cast out, and we know that there was a sinful thing involved there. Sarah got Hagar involved with Abraham. But the reason Hagar needed to be cast out was because Sarah was jealous of her, because of the attention that her son was receiving from Abraham. And so they cast out the bondservant and the son. You see, sin that leads to jealousy leads to division. That's what happens. And so we see this division within the nation. And we see it also in the story of Joseph and his brothers. The root of that was jealousy. They were jealous of the fact that Joseph had this coat of many colors, that Joseph was honored by his father, that Joseph was talking about them all bowing down to him. You know, that didn't go over well with the bros. They were going to be cast away. And we see it all through the scriptures. Saul with David. David was anointed king. Saul was jealous of him. Saul sat in his kingdom and threw spears at David. He chased David down in En-Gedi. He tried to kill David. And what a difference between Saul and David. Saul tried to kill David over and over and over. David had two opportunities to kill Saul right under his nose. He had the opportunity when Saul was going potty in a cave. And his own men said to David, hey, David, God's delivered him into your hands. Just slit his throat. It'd be easy. He's so distracted. He's doing number two probably. Take care of him, you know. And we can deal with this guy. And David said, far be it from me that I should touch the Lord's anointed. And he didn't do it. And it happened a second time, and he didn't do it. And that just shows you the difference of someone who's right before God, and they're comfortable in their own skin, and they're not worried about what others think. These guys were all concerned about what others think. And that's the same with these stories I've mentioned. And I mentioned the story this week. We talked about the prodigal son this Sunday morning. And the older brother, he's an example of someone who let jealousy rule his heart. And again, how many times does that not happen in the body of Christ? He's a picture of the religious Christian who is upset because this sort of dirty heathen is getting saved and God's blessing him. And maybe there's great things happening in his life, and like it's like, why is God blessing him and he's not blessing me? Anytime you find yourself thinking that way, remember that you're saved by grace too. It's all about the grace of God and the forgiveness of God. And so we see this all throughout the Bible. So here's what Jephthah did, verse 4. Jephthah gathered together all the men of Gilead and fought against Ephraim. And the men of Gilead defeated Ephraim because they said, you Gileadites are fugitives of Ephraim among the Ephraimites and among the Manassites. Now, you have this, the Gileadites who did not actually dwell in the land of Israel. And the Ephraimites and the men of Manasseh, they dwelt on the other side of the Jordan. And they're telling them that they're a lesser people. That's basically it. They're insulting them as if they're not worthy. They're a lesser people. And that spurred them in their battle against them. You know, you got to be careful who you insult and how. because they're going to find out with Jephthah it was a wrong thing to do. And the Gileonites seized the fords of the Jordan before the Ephraimites arrived. And when the Ephraimite who escaped said, "Let me cross over," the men of Gilead would say to him, "Are you an Ephraimite?" So they basically have defeated them, but then there's some who want to cross over the Jordan. They're trying to do it sort of in a incognito way, kind of get across the Jordan River. And he said, if he said no, then they would say to him, "Then say Shibboleth." So everybody say that, Shibboleth. Okay, so, but they would say Sibboleth. So everybody say that, Sibboleth. See the difference? Shh, do you get the difference? Be quiet, shh, do you get the difference? Anyway, for he could not pronounce it right. So these guys had a dialect problem. They were like from Brooklyn or something. Well, if you're from Brooklyn, okay, sorry. Okay, maybe they're from Staten Island. I don't know. So they couldn't pronounce it right. They had a weird accent, and they would take him and kill him at the fords of the Jordan. So when someone came, you imagine if you just had a lisp and you weren't really you weren't really an Ephraimite, and you came and you're like, "No, I'm not an Ephraimite. I just can't use the S. You know, I can't say H. It doesn't work for me, you know." Yeah, right. You know, you're dead. So they take him and kill him. And there fell that time, look at this, 42,000 Ephraimites. Wow, that's really sad. When you think about it, this is all because of jealousy. This is all because of division within the nation. You see what jealousy and division, the damage it can do? And it's very, very sad. And I think of, the story of David and Saul. There was such damage in the nation because of David and Saul, because Saul would not allow David to rise up in the kingdom. And then, of course, David had all kinds of issues with his own family because of jealousy and anger with his sons. One son killing another son and then stealing the kingdom from him. We see these things all throughout the scripture. And unfortunately, guys, we see it in the body of Christ. We see divisions. We see factions that start up. And many times it's because of the heart of a jealous heart in one person or another person or a few people in a church. And I know of whole churches that have split to the degree where there are almost hardly anybody left because of these kinds of things. Check your heart. Always check your own heart and make sure that your motivation for why you might question something. And listen, I'm not pushing away, you know, don't not question the leadership of a church ever. We welcome questions if you have them. No problem. We'll work with you. But if you find yourself having a critical nature all the time and always looking at things in a critical way and always sort of criticizing those who are leading, because Jephthah was the leader. Jephthah was the judge. He's the guy. And basically, these Ephraimites, they're not submitting to Jephthah's leadership. And they're coming against Jephthah's leadership. And he's a God-appointed judge. And always remember that those who are in leadership, God's the one who allowed them to get there. Now, it doesn't mean they're right all the time. But God allowed them to be put in that position. And God's the one that can remove them. And God will remove them in his own timing. So don't think that you're the one that's supposed to come and fix that necessarily. You may need to just simply state the truth of what you think and then step away from a situation. So they had this test of to identify them, and it was a simple test, but it's very, very sad that all those who failed this test were put to death. Didn't have to be. And then Jephthah judged Israel 6 years. Isn't it interesting? He only judged for 6 years, but yet he did so much in that six-year period of time. Now, he had been, you know, been pushed away. Remember, he was the son of a prostitute, a harlot, and he had been cast away by the nation until they needed him. So he had a number of years in which he was raiding, they said, the Bible says. It really, the idea is that he was a gun for hire, so to speak. He had a band of men that he'd be hired by people to come in and deal with situations, but he was doing it for good. He wasn't like a marauder where he'd go and steal from people. But Jephthah's an interesting character. He's an interesting guy. And he died. Jephthah the Gilead died. He was buried among the cities of Gilead. And you know what this tells us is we've studied Gideon and Jephthah as two of the major judges in the last month or so. And not every leader is the same. in Israel, and they're not the same in the church either. There's different personalities. Now, I don't know that, you know, we'd ever hear, you know, we should have Pastor Jephthah. I don't know that he should, like, maybe he's a little too rough around the edges to be that in that role, in a sense. And maybe I shouldn't like him so much, but I do. But Gideons, Jephthahs, they're different kind of leaders, different personalities. And, you know, it's interesting because Gideon might have been, you might have said of Gideon that he was applying the proverb, don't answer a fool according to their folly. Because he just didn't deal with the Gideonites, or the Ephraimites, excuse me. He was busy still battling against the Midianites at the time, so he just didn't deal with it. And so he walked away from it. But so he was kind of in that place where, you know, don't answer a fool according to their folly, as the proverb says. But then the proverb also says, in some cases, answer a fool according to their folly. So why does the proverb say that? Because sometimes it's applicable to answer a fool according to their folly, and sometimes it isn't. Sometimes you need discernment on when to fight and when not to fight a battle. When to let a soft answer turn away wrath and when to come against someone and really be strong. It's a hard thing to make that decision. We need discernment. There are those people who are fighters, right? And then there are those people who are not fighters. And there's nothing wrong with being the non-fighter and saying, I'm not the person to fight with you. But when you meet Jephthah along the way, tell him I said hello, will you? By the way, the tribe of Ephraim would never recover from this. They really were a non-entity for the rest of the days of the nation. Verse 8, after him, Ibzan of Bethlehem judged Israel. He had 30 sons, and he gave away 30 daughters in marriage, and he brought in 30 daughters from elsewhere for his sons. He judged Israel for 7 years. 30 sons, 30 daughters, that's 60. 30 son-in-laws, that's 90. 30 daughter-in-laws, that's 120. That is a big family, would you say? And you got 120, and then you got the in-laws, right? Imagine what Thanksgiving dinner was like. And it just says, he judged for 7 years, then Ibzan died and was buried in Bethlehem. Now, these were probably, again, mostly, if not all, arranged marriages. But imagine also, this is the good part of this, imagine the number of grandkids this guy had. I love grandkids. I got 6 of them. They're the best. They're a lot of fun. I don't know if I could handle like 400 or some crazy number. We definitely wouldn't be watching them all at the same time. But this family, you got to understand something, that in their day, having children and having an abundance of people in your family gave you, it was like an asset in life. It gave you more people to work the fields. It gave you more people to develop. You had this huge family that could run your business, so to speak. And so it was a very important thing. And this man is another one of those quiet leaders who has served the Lord in his life. He only served for 7 years, but it's a testimony of a quiet leadership because nothing, there were no wars, there's nothing went on during his reign. After him, Elon the Zebulunite judged Israel, and he judged Israel 10 years. And Elon the Zebulunite died and was buried at Ajalon in the country of Zebulun. Very interesting text. We don't know anything more. Isn't it interesting that something like that is inspired by the Holy Spirit to put down in the text? Like, just going to tell us that here's this other judge. He was there for 10 years. It was non-eventful. Again, another quiet leader we don't know anything about. And after him, Abdon, the son of Hillel, the Pirathonite, judged Israel. And he had 40 sons and 30 grandsons. Those guys could have 2 football games on the field and never add a player. Think about that. 22. That doesn't compute. Anyway, it's close. And they rode 70 young donkeys. So the 40 and 30, so there was 70 donkeys. He had 40 donkeys for his sons and 40 more donkeys for his grandsons. I mean, this is really cool. This is quite a grandpa. That grandpa is popular with his grandsons and his sons. He's a very popular guy because when you're giving them, that's like giving them a car when they turn 17 years old, even more so. In those days, a donkey meant you were very, very wealthy. And so it's like they're driving around in you know, 70 Mercedes-Benz. And Abdon, the son of Hillel, the Periathonite, died and was buried in Periathon in the land of Ephraim in the mountains of the Amalekites. So finally an Ephraimite does get on the throne because this guy was an Ephraimite.